Amen. Sounded a lot like him. It was good. What a blessing. And how many have ever heard Lester roll off? And you ever hear the tape of the tornado, the tent meeting and the tornado? Anybody ever hear that? Really? Nobody. My hand's the only one. I think we have that tape. Who else? You've heard that? All right, here's a couple. I was looking back there. All right, great. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing message and amazing thing to hear that probably recorded on a reel-to-reel. I'm not sure. But anyway, some great Lester Roy. And he would just break out in song just like that. Sometimes you think he just made that up. You know, just an amazing thing. Thank you, Tim. What a blessing. And many of you noticed Margot Denias is here, and she'll be here for a couple of weeks. I've asked her next Sunday. She's going to tell us a little bit about things that are going on in Namibia, where her and her husband Tom are, and missionaries there. And so, praise the Lord. She helped out with the shepherd's service yesterday. That was a blessing. And like I say, because we have so many missing, I wanted her to give a testimony and tell us about that next Sunday night. So we're delighted to have her here. Turn to Galatians. Galatians 5, and then we're going to go into Nehemiah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. There we go. Many verses in the scripture and stories in the Bible of people doing great things, and then all of a sudden they stop, and we recognize so clearly that there are obstacles to service. There are many, many obstacles to service, many obstacles that are thrown in our pathway, many obstacles that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Here in Galatians 5 and verse 7, just one verse that talks about it, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who did hinder you? There's verses, the Bible talks about what hinders you. And over, there are just the obstacles, things that get in our way, things that keep us from serving God. Go back now to Nehemiah. We'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. And I'm going to really take my outline from Nehemiah, which we studied 5 years ago or so. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7 kind of gives us a list here that we can look at as far as some obstacles to service. You say, I want to serve. And I've seen people just be on fire for God, that love God. They read their Bible, they pray, they start out serving God, they're excited about serving God. And boy, just like that, it's like they hit a brick wall. Well, they ran into an obstacle. And there are obstacles to serving God. Father, I do pray you bless the preaching. I thank you for the good music tonight. I thank you for folks that are serving you now in our nurseries, that are serving you, Lord, out at the fair and in the tent and in the booth for the Reformers Unanimous. And I do thank you for people serving. And so many here so faithfully serve. God, I know, though, that obstacles are coming. Obstacles have come. We've watched people come. We've watched them go. We've seen them hit that brick wall. We've seen soul winners that are on fire for God just all of a sudden quit. We've seen bus captains do great, great works and just all of a sudden quit. Lord, there are many obstacles, and I pray that you'll help us to identify them in the next couple of weeks, and God, to get victory that we can serve you, that we can keep serving you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The obstacles to service. This morning I talked about the omission of service. In other words, we're doing right. We love God. We're tithing. We're coming to church faithfully. We're not doing wrong. We're not involved in sin. We're confessing when we do wrong, when we have a wrong thought, whatever. We're getting it right with God. And literally, our lives are pretty clean. And yet we're not doing what we ought to do. That's the omission of service. Don't let Satan lie to you, all right? Don't let him get you in the trap that, hey, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I'm pretty good. I don't cuss. I don't swear. I don't gossip. I don't have a bitterness in my heart. I go to church faithfully, and I don't get in the lie of the devil that means everything's okay. Because if there's something you're supposed to do that you're not doing, then God calls that sin. the omission of service. Talked about it this morning. Tonight, though, and really the next few nights, and even next Sunday morning, I want to talk to you about some obstacles, the obstacles to service. And in Nehemiah, of course, we saw it so clearly. To me, Nehemiah is, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the month, that we'd be going into Nehemiah because it is such a good picture of the whole picture of Christian service. It really is. Walls are needing to be built. Well, there's nothing glamorous about walls. You know, serving God isn't always glamorous. Serving God, in fact, most of the time, it's not glamorous. Daryl White served God and got pies in his face yesterday. You know, there's nothing glamorous about that. Nothing glamorous about being in a tent and sweating. Nothing glamorous. Lynn George was out there yesterday. He's been there. I see him every year for years. And out there helping set up the tent. Don Pickenpaul. There isn't anything glamorous about putting a sign up. And Celia Demeter was out there yesterday morning. And certainly for a woman, you know, it nothing glamorous about helping set up tent walls and tables. And it's hot. And nothing glamorous about the walls of the city. And yet, the walls had to be built. And yet, the work has to be done. There's nothing glamorous about working in the nursery. Nothing glamorous about changing dirty diapers. There's nothing glamorous about the shepherd's picnic. I mean, you know, the newspaper wasn't there. They didn't cover that. It's probably not going to make it on CNN that we had the shepherd's picnic. In fact, it's probably not going to make our local newspaper or local radio station. It's not necessarily a glamorous thing, but it's not about glamour. There's nothing glamorous about Ed Tedder cleaning the buses when it's 95 degrees outside and the humidity is making the heat index well over 100 degrees. Nothing glamorous about being in that bus, sweeping it out and cleaning it out so that the kids can ride a clean bus. It's just not a glamorous thing. And yet the walls are not glamorous. And most of Christian service, it's not glamorous. Most of Christian service, it's not in the spotlight. I think of Margot here. There's nothing glamorous. I mean, Namibia, it's not a glamorous thing. You don't hear about them on Religion Today, you know. They're not covered in that. They're not going to be talked about in that. It's not. Most of the things we do as Christians in serving God, they're not glamorous. You're in the bathroom. You're cleaning the toilet. It's not, you know, and probably when you're done cleaning the toilet and you walk out from cleaning the toilet, probably nobody's going to shake your hand and say thank you. It just isn't glamorous. That's why Nehemiah is such a wonderful story. Because we have to build the walls. The wall, you don't live, you know, the walls, it's not the roof over your head, although some people lived on the walls, literally, as far as in little cubby holes in the walls. But it's you know, it's not the fancy building. It's not the temple. It's their walls. And our service to God is pictured so well by the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4 and verse 7, of course, the battle, the war about the walls, because, you know, Satan hates the Jews. And the walls of Jerusalem are knocked down, and Nehemiah is burdened about it and wants to, God puts it on his heart to rebuild the walls. And those walls are going to protect the people. Those walls are going to protect God's people. Those walls are going to protect people that are precious to God. And let me just mention, you know, the shepherds are precious to God. And the little babies in the nursery are precious to God. And you know, everything we do, every person that we affect, every little child, I don't care how rough they are, we prayed for Daryl's and Bob's Sunday school class because it's just those boys are just a little rambunctious. You know what? Those boys are precious to God. Amen. And those people at the fair, they'll come in and they'll look like anything and everything, and they'll have piercings from their ears all the way to this ear, from ear to ear, and down into the belly button. And I mean, chains will be hanging off, and there'll be every kind of look and every kind of thing said, and there'll be every kind of attitude, and there'll be every kind of action, and it's all going to happen. But you know what? Those people are precious to our God, And so as we think about these walls being built and how important that was to God, there is no service you can do for God that's not important. There is absolutely no, hey, the buses being clean for the bus kids to get on, that's important to God. Everything is important to our God. And that's why Satan is determined to put obstacles in the way. And with Nehemiah, we see it over and over again. It just is a continual battle. Verse 7 of Nehemiah 4, it came to pass that when Sanballat, you remember them from years ago, Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And there, you know, there it is right there. The walls are going to be built, and the enemies, the obstacles, Satan is putting obstacles in place. I got news for you. The fair obstacles have already been put in the place. You know, for years, you know, more and more obstacles. It becomes harder and harder. It becomes tougher and tougher because Satan doesn't like it. Every ministry that we have, I'm telling you, the day is coming when door-to-door soul winning. In fact, there's things being talked about even now. We're going door-to-door, just knocking on doors. I'm telling you, Satan is putting obstacles. Well, one of the biggest obstacles is we just don't want to do it. That'll stop it before the government ever has to. But anyway, I'm getting way ahead of myself. And so the people, here in verse 8, it's interesting. It says, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Conspired, there's our word, Glenn. And we talk about the conspiracies. There is a conspiracy to slow us down. There is a conspiracy to stop us. There is a conspiracy that's after your family. There is a conspiracy that's after this church. There is a conspiracy that's after the little babies in the nursery. Oh, there is definitely a conspiracy, and it all starts with Satan. And he is doing all he can to put obstacles to us doing what we're supposed to do. Obstacles. Let me look at them tonight, and I'll not keep you very long tonight. I have just three things I want to show you. And again, this is going to go over into Wednesday and then next Sunday. Number one is our adversaries. Our adversaries. First of all is the enemy that we have, our adversaries. Verse 7, it lists them here with Nehemiah, Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites. They conspire together. Verse 11, our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. That's what they're after. Cause the work to cease. Doesn't matter. Satan, as long as he can stop the work, that's all that matters. Hey, he cannot have our soul. He cannot keep us from heaven. He cannot steal my victory. But, oh, he's going to do everything he can to stop me. He's going to do everything he can to stop me. He's going to do everything he can to stop you. He's going to do everything. Hey, Dad, he's going to do everything he can to stop you, because if he stops you, he'll probably stop your family. And do everything he can to stop us. He can't change the fact that I'm born again. But he's going to do everything he can to keep me from doing what I'm supposed to do. And he's going to do it with you. And there are adversaries. There are the actual enemies out there that they don't look at you and say, oh, I'm so happy for them. There are adversaries out there. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Keep your place in Nehemiah. We'll go back there. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. The Bible says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul saw it. He said, hey, here's this great door. You know, we talk about praying for God to open the door. Do you understand how many doors are open? Still, in America. I mean, honestly, I'm trying not to preach gloom and doom, but I want you to understand, there are doors open. Amen. You understand? We have a soul-winning tent at the fair. We have a presence at the fair, and it is the best-looking display at the fair. Top-notch. Amen. Everything's looking. Okay, and we are there. And we can be there all week long giving out the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Do you understand? We could be having a service who knows how many years down the road where we say, folks, they told us if we try to set up our tent at the fair, they're going to arrest us all. Now, just understand, there is a door open. That's what Paul said. It's a great door and effectual. In other words, it's a door open where God can use it. God can bless it. Hey, do you understand? We ran buses this morning. Isn't that wonderful? And I don't know if any of our buses accidentally got in the parade or not, but it's always exciting on parade day. But anyway, we ran buses day. We brought people into church, and I believe a couple of children got saved. And so we brought them in on our bus, and we can still do that. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what? There may be a day just down the road. They tried it with laws. They tried it with gas tanks. They tried it with high back seats. They tried, you know, instead of blaming alcoholics and that, they blamed church buses. And you know, they tried all that kind of stuff. And you know what? The buses are still running. But what about a day? What about a day when folks, we're going to have to take our buses off the road? It's illegal to run buses to church anymore. But Paul said, a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Do not think, folks, that all the stuff that goes on, do not think that all the things that are open to us today, do not think there's not adversaries that are fighting against it. Don't even get the idea that somehow, you know, boy, I'll tell you what, I know those folks, they really, those people at the fair, they really appreciate our tent. Don't get the idea that the world is happy at all about our buses. The world is happy at all about our picnic yesterday for the shepherds. Because the world, they think we're the bad guys. They really do. The enemy has taught them and used a lot of lies and spin to somehow think that we're the bad guys. It's just like, come on, Nehemiah, how could you possibly be that all you're trying to do is build this wall? Well, Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, they looked at Nehemiah like he was the cause of all the problems. And you hear that in what they say. See, they're out to slow them down. They're out to stop them. They make threats. They ridicule. They try to cause them to fear. All these things, we see this today. I'm sure the Deniases could talk about that in Namibia and on any mission field. It's always that way when you're doing something for God. Hey, remember I preached on it Wednesday. It's a great work. It's a great work. Why would we think the devil's going to just leave it alone? There are obstacles. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. Go ahead and turn there. Keep your place in Nehemiah. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18. The Bible says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. What's he say? But Satan hindered us. Satan thought it might encourage him. Satan thought Paul might come and it would inspire them. Satan thought that Paul might come and he might teach them some doctrine and it would strengthen them. But Satan hindered, and he always will. He'll try to hinder you. You know, I'm understanding. We have some young people that are messing around with phones during church, and I don't understand, parents. I don't. You say, well, I can't see mine. Why can't you see yours? Good question. Because it's church time. Hey, you know all that is? It's Satan trying to keep a young person from doing what God wants them to do. They're not going to do it by playing Pac-Man or something on the phone. That's not a game anymore, is it? Dave, you're laughing at me, aren't you? I'm old. All right? They're not. They're texting and Facebooking somebody. That isn't why we have church. That's not why we have church. Okay, what's that all about? Look, here's what it's all about. It's all about there's a devil that's going to put obstacles. There's an enemy that's going to put obstacles. There's Satan who's going to put obstacles to keep us from doing what it is we're supposed to do. Amen. It's like Pharaoh told Moses, you are not going to leave. Moses said, let my people go. He said, you're not going to go. Listen, I mean, the devil is constantly trying, and he has enemies out there. Like Pharaoh, he absolutely despised Moses and the children of Israel. I mean, that's so clear. He's so angry. He's so mad and angry at them that he leads his army into the Red Sea and drowns them all. I mean, wipes out his army. Unbelievable. It's like the men that set Daniel up. You know, they hated Daniel. They hated Daniel, and they set up Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den only to be eaten themselves, you know? But that hatred, those enemies, it's like the ACLU of our day. You know, it's like ACLU, you know, most of our young people, they would grow up thinking ACLU stands for We Hate Christians. It's like they're opposed to everything we do. It's like they're opposed to everything we believe. It's like they probably are opposed and would be very opposed to my message. Civil Liberties Union. What about my civil liberties? Why aren't you looking after me? Well, don't you understand? You're the problem. Hey, Berean Baptist Church, you're the problem. Hey, dads out here, you are the problem. You people are the problem. You anti-abortion people, what's your problem? You are the problem. You folks, you hate the homosexuals, right? No, we've never said we hate anybody. Well, you're the problem. Hate. No, we'll sit down, talk to a homosexual, tell them about Jesus anytime. Yeah. You know, it's like so many government leaders. I mean, some of the things that are being talked about and proposed, I mean, they're so anti what we stand for. Communism is anti Christ. I mean, Islam is anti-Christ. You can't, preacher, you can't say that. See, the only reason you even think that way is because Satan has the airwaves. And we even start thinking that. I can't believe anybody would say that. Oh, I can't believe you would say that. Oh, you know, there's enemies out there. There's enemies out there. The atheists, they have absolutely no respect for us at all. None. They don't want to hear it. The people, you know, there are so many people out there now that are against everything we do. False religion is against everything we do. Look at Luke 11, verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. Talking about false leaders of religion. And they had the key of knowledge, but they took it away. And they hindered people with false doctrine and false religion and false teaching. They themselves are lost, like Islam. Folks, you know, don't buy into the garbage that you hear. Well, you know, as long as you're sincere, I hear independent Baptists saying things like that. Now, well, these people are very sincere, but they're wrong. Wrong means hell. Not because I say so, not because I want it to be so. It's just because it is so. Catholicism is wrong. The Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. And the Mormons are wrong. And it is these are religions that condemn to hell. And used to, you'd preach that and there'd be a whole bunch of amens, and now everybody's kind of looking around like, boy, I hope there's not really spies, because we could get in big trouble. But these are enemies. These are enemies. They are, again, they're not my enemy. I'm not out to hurt them in any way, shape, or form. They are enemies to the cause of Christ that we have. They are enemies to what we preach and what we teach. And it is a huge, huge threat. I like Nehemiah, though, because the Bible says in verse 6, it says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And I'm going to tell you, the mind to work overcomes those enemies from outside. And the Sanballats and the Tobias and the Geshams and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and, all their threatening and all their ridicule and mockery and all of that. And all the world has to throw at us. You have to understand, that mind to work, that'll overcome that every time. There will always be adversaries, and those adversaries will constantly harp on the fact, look, you can't do this. You shouldn't do this. This is no good. It's your fault that our country's the way it is. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's always been that way. It will always be that way. I remind you, Jesus said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And if God says we are to do something, we need to do it. No matter what it is, serving God, one of the enemies or one of the obstacles to serving God is our adversaries. Let me close this point with Acts 5 and verse 28. Acts 5, 28. Acts chapter 5, verse 28. It says, "Saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And obviously, folks, those days, the days are coming where I believe with all my heart we are going to have to make those statements. Maybe it won't be us. Maybe it'll be our children. Maybe it'll be our grandchildren. But I mean, the day is coming. It already is with many Christians in other countries where you say, we ought to obey God rather than men, because our adversaries are there. They are going to constantly be an obstacle trying to stop us. Hate crime, hate law, all those kind of things, hate speech. Pastors are going to jail in other countries because of preaching the Word of God. That's hate speech. Soul winners are going to jail in other countries. Hate speech. Well, you can't tell people they're sinners. I don't have to tell them. The Bible tells them they're sinners. No, you said it. Now, sir, are you saying that I'm a sinner? Well, that's what the Bible says. Guilty. Isn't it amazing how the Scripture can be twisted and how it can be turned? And I'm just saying that our adversaries, they don't appreciate what's going on. And there are people that want us out of the way. Guaranteed. Read anything Islam puts out, read it, about Christians. And you'll find out what they want done with you. It has to, let me tell you this, it's a bag over your head and a sharp sword. You can put it all together, what they'd like to do to you. Again, that's not our message. Never has been our message. It's not why we run buses. We're not lining them up to chop off their heads. It's not why we have a fair tent. It's not why we give away Kool-Aid. Not why we give away quality prizes at Vacation Bible School. Uh-uh, not at all. It is not why we have a shepherd's picnic. No, we have the truth that sets men free. Adversaries, always, always. One of the obstacles, first obstacle to service is our adversaries. You think about, there's people trying to stop you from going soul winning. And you say, well, we're still allowed to. Then you ought to go. Right. And you need to go. There's people that would like our tent down. Then you say, well, bless God, we can do it. Then you need to do it. Amen. And jump in this year. It may, it's not a battle this year. Well, it's a battle, but it's not the same battle. Our adversaries. Number two is our acquaintances. Our acquaintances. Amazing verse in verse 12 in Nehemiah 4. And it came to pass when the Jews. Wait a minute. Who are they building the walls for? The Jews. Oh. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came. Now, these are the Jews who are going to take advantage of these walls someday, but they're not helping rebuild the walls. They're kind of watching. And these Jews that dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times. 10 times they said it. I love the scripture. I love the way God makes it very clear. 10 times they said, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. These are friends and relatives of the people building the walls. And it's sad to say, sometimes friends and relatives and our acquaintances, they can be an obstacle. They can be an obstacle. I'm not talking about people that hate you. I'm talking about people say they love you. Maybe they do. I'm not talking about people that that are your enemy. I'm talking about people that they come and eat meals with you. It's our acquaintances. These were Jews that lived nearby, but they didn't help. They were relatives. They were friends. They were acquaintances of those who did build the wall. 10 times. I think God's trying to say over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's too dangerous. You'll die. You can't succeed. I think sometimes these are more dangerous than the first group. They're not trying to hurt you, but they are an obstacle to the work getting done. I don't know how many people told me when I said, I'm going to quit my job at RCA and go to Bible college. Now, most of my friends were unsaved. That's because I hadn't been saved very long. And, they obviously, I mean, even though they were friends, they said, you're nuts. But even Christians, are you crazy? Come on, you can keep this job, make lots of money, and then you can give it to missions, and you can use it for the church, and you can... Dangerous. What are they doing? They're an obstacle. They're an obstacle in getting the work done. Our acquaintances, you know, if it's God's will, then you don't do it, then you're disobeying God. You see, you know, I'm kind of thinking about working nursery. Well, don't you already do enough? You know, I'm thinking about. I think I'll go serve Kool-Aid there at the tent. And come on, it's going to be hot. You don't want to do that. You know, I'm thinking about getting my CDL. Oh, don't you know? That Kelvin, he'll call you every week. Yeah. Oh, it's a big responsibility. It is. You know, I'm thinking about, I think I'll go soul winning. Oh, don't you, people are going to cuss you out. Oh. See, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, then we miss out on the will of God for our lives. Right. I cannot, it is one of the most frustrating things as a pastor. All the people that should have, who didn't, because an acquaintance talked them out of. I'm talking about a church member. I'm talking about a brother, sister in Christ. I'm talking about somebody that sat with them in church, somebody that was with them all the day. You know, how sad. Numbers 32, verse 6. Numbers 32, verse 6. This will look real familiar. Preach from Numbers 32 this morning. Same old thing, Numbers 32, 6. There they are, Gad and Reuben. Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over? Discourage. Who in the world do you think you are discouraging somebody who wants to serve God? Do you not somehow think you will answer to God if you are the discourager? But I'm mostly talking to somebody who, you know, God's put in my heart to serve, but several Christian people have said maybe this isn't a good idea. You listen to God. These people are not bad. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying they look, You've got to understand. I'm not saying these Jews were bad people. You've got to listen to God and do what is the right thing to do. Acts 8, verse 36. Look at it. Acts 8, 36. I can encourage you. I'm on the back page. Acts 8 and verse 36. Acts 8, 36. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, I know people that were going to get baptized, and somebody said, "Well, that's not cool. It's not cool to get baptized. Since when is that a reason not to get baptized?" It's well, yeah, but that was my friend that told me that. You know, it's not much of a friend that would tell you to disobey God. You're too young to get baptized. Really, who says? Who says? Well, you don't know enough to get baptized. Where do you get that in the Bible? You're not good enough to get baptized. All of these, every one of these arguments has been said to someone sometime, and it kept them from getting baptized. Now, obviously, if you have a 4-year-old child and you're their parent and you've said, you know, you don't seem to understand what's going on, then that's different. I'm talking about somebody that understands what's going on and they say, I want to get baptized. I'm not talking about somebody who just wants to get wet. I'm talking about somebody who says, I want to obey God. Amen. I want to do this thing. And we tell them off-the-wall, ridiculous things like that. What is that? That's an obstacle. Because this person, this is the next step in them doing something for God. How many people are on the streets of Adrian, Michigan, or probably at the fair right now here in Adrian, Michigan? Oh, they bowed their head, they prayed, they got saved, but they never got baptized, and therefore they're not even in church. Because baptism is the next step. And you name it, whatever it is. You know? Whatever it is. It's just acquaintances, people we know. They're not out to hurt us. But they try to keep us from doing what it is God wants us to do. Look at 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 9, 12. The Bible says, "If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." Hindering the gospel of Christ. Again, these are friends. These are people that are good. These aren't necessarily bad people, you know. It's like a Calvinist, you know. Somebody that believes in Calvinism. Well, if you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved. Doesn't matter, you know. All that kind of stuff. I mean, it's like people that say, well, it doesn't work going soul winning. It doesn't work giving an altar call. That doesn't work. Or it's like people saying, well, where are all of them? You know, those kind of things. Again, these are acquaintances that are trying to put out your fire. These are acquaintances. You'll go to the fair and you'll have some people saved, and these acquaintances will say some off-the-wall fruitcake kind of thing like, well, where are they? Well, I don't think the question is where are they. I think the question should be where were they? I gave them the gospel. I told them what they need to do, and I told them, here's what you have to do to be saved. And they prayed and they asked Jesus into their heart. Then I'm not the guy that decides whether they're saved or not. He is. I'm the guy that gives the message. As long as I'm giving the message right, but what's that do? I don't know how many soul winners have gone to the fair, gone soul winning, gone on a bus route, come back all on fire, only to have somebody get out their water hose and put them out. Yeah. With that kind of stuff. Did they do it to hurt them? No, they're not trying to hurt them. They're not necessarily bad people. They're just acquaintances we ought not listen to. Because it's going to be an obstacle to us doing what we're supposed to do. I don't know how many people, when I said I'm going to Pensacola Christian College, people said, what in the world's a Pensacola Christian College? This was years ago when I was in Marion, Indiana. And I said, I don't know. It's where God wants me to go. Well, how do you not know about it? Why don't you have scholarship offers? And why don't you have information? And why aren't they on the who's who of colleges in America? And why don't they, you know, are they accredited by the National Accreditation Associations? And what's it going to do as far as getting you a job? On all of that. Why? Because God told me to do it.
Right.
It was my next step to do what he wanted me to do. You know, if you won't take those steps, you're never going to do anything for him. You have to take the next step. And there's going to always be people that try to stop you. I think about, well, what about our Christian college? Yeah, I had people all, you know, and it's like, well, what about this Christian college? What about that? I said, I don't know any other. It was fortunate I was ignorant. Didn't know Pensacola Christian College. I'd never been there when God called me there. I saw an ensemble, saw a picture. That was it. Coberly South. That was it. Oh, this looks like a nice place. We'll go there. But it was after God put that in my heart. And, well, what? Why not Marion College? Why not, you know, that's right here in our own town. Go to Marion College. You know, it's a nice Wesleyan college. I didn't know the difference between Baptist and Wesleyan, other than one starts with a W and one starts with a B. Why not go to Marion College? Why not? Then I'd be a Wesleyan. Huh, I am so glad that I didn't go to Marion College. Do you understand? But even then, people, you know, so glad God told me what to do. Our text, Galatians 5, said, you did run well. You did. What stopped you? Do you know that in most cases, in independent fundamental Baptist circles, many, many cases, what stopped you was the person you're sitting near. Many cases, young lady, it was the guy that you like. Young man, it's that girl. Many cases, people you hang around with all the time, they're slowing you down. Why? Not because they hate you, not because they want to hurt you. They're just, it's an obstacle. It's an obstacle. You did run well. That's a tough verse. That's why I started with that tonight. You did run well. Who did hinder you? I still remember it to this day. A young man, I am going to serve God in the ministry as a youth director. In fact, I can go, I've probably got 5 illustrations of this very same thing. They go back however many years, wow, 30 years. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be youth director. I'm going to teach in a school, Christian school, whatever, something like that, only to come home and have a parent talk him out of it. Yeah. Drives me crazy. Don't even understand it. You did run well. Who hindered you? Oh, unbelievable. But if it's not a parent, it could be a friend. It could be somebody else that you sit with in church. Anybody. Criticize, question, talk about, what about the money? What about the money? Do you understand when we went to Bible college, I didn't have any money. I sold my Kawasaki to buy our books. That's how we went to Bible college. You say, how'd you make it? I don't have the slightest idea. But when I graduated, my debt was paid. I don't know. I don't know how we made it. I'm getting frustrated with everybody having to have it all figured out. Amen. To be real honest with you. Margot, do you guys have it all figured out?
Not at all.
Not even close. Never have you? But it all works out, doesn't it? Yeah. Listen to me. I'm getting tired of it. It is secular. It's humanistic. It's out of hell. It's not of God. We need to have faith and trust God. I'm not talking about blind, just being idiots about things. I'm saying when God puts something on your heart, you can do it.
Amen.
You need to do it. I don't care. You know, people, it's always going to be, well, what are you going to do? What about this? What about that? And pretty soon, you're sitting there going, and you do nothing. And Satan laughs. Well, write everything out. Make sure you have enough for 4 years. You are out of your gourd. I've never had enough for 4 months. I don't write it out. It would discourage me. How'd you make it? You know what I remember? I remember praying an awful lot.
That's right.
I remember running in and checking my box and saying, oh God, please, just $10 I'd like to eat. And by the way, when I got my $10, I didn't go to Whataburger. Amen. That's not the best way to spend 10 bucks when that's all you've got. None of this is in the notes. You did run well. It's the hardest, one of the hardest things for me to hear from people that I love dearly. You did run well. Used to. You think about who's not at the fair. They did run well. They were. There was a time. But understand, these are people, they want to obey, but somebody, an acquaintance, disrupts that. You know, an acquaintance, they'll say something like, well, don't be so radical. Did you know you can serve God and not serve God? You can serve God by going out in the trees and going out and looking at the sunset and watching the birds flutter and going out and watching a herd of cattle or a host of angels. You could go out and watch a stream as it flows by. Why? That is serving God. And I can hear the little bells tinging. Don't be so radical. You radical nuts. You and your tithing and your serving God all the time and attending church and all this kind of stuff. And what is wrong with you? And people will make fun of you and they'll laugh at you. And our neighbors, I can see, they're sometimes they're having a big party, you know, and here I go, and we're off to church on a Wednesday night, and here we are, you know, in our suit, and it's hot outside, and they're, you know, they're in the pool, and hey, you know, and they're, and you can almost hear it, he's nuts. Oh, yeah. Preacher said, I need somebody to coach basketball. I said, I'll coach basketball. And they started laughing. My acquaintances, they didn't hate me. bunch of teenagers, they got together. I heard them. They said, he's going to have to get his hair cut. I don't know how many people said, well, you shouldn't have to cut your hair. You ought to just tell him you're not going to do it. And he would have told me, you're not going to do it. People make fun of, just like Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem. Ladies try to be modest, look like a woman. People make fun of them. Yeah. You know, all that is just an acquaintance trying to stop you. That's all. Somebody says, well, I'm going to read my Bible through, and there's always somebody saying, well, you won't make it. You won't make it past Leviticus. That'll stop you. Try to have dating standards, preach about it, and people say, that's not even practical today. No, but it sure makes a lot of sense. Sure makes a lot of sense. You know, good for a man not to touch a woman, good for a boy not to touch a girl, good for a girl not to touch a boy, and if they don't, there won't be any problem. You wouldn't even have to consider abortion. It's not even an issue. It's always going to be that way. Our adversaries, our acquaintances, and our third obstacle, and I'm going to spend some time on it in the next couple days, that's our attitudes. Our attitudes. Back in Nehemiah, and I've preached on this before, verse 10, and that's not what this message is about, but Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Our attitudes. I got news for you. When you get the attitude that we're not able to do it, you won't. I preached on this, mentioned this quote that I heard back in college, outlook determines outcome. And if you have the outlook that you can't and it's not possible, then first of all, you're telling God he's a liar. because he said, I can do all things through Christ. And you tell God he's a liar, you're headed for trouble. And our attitudes are shaped by what we read, what we hear, what we watch, what we listen to. And I'm going to call that rubbish in our lives. That this rubbish, and what are they talking about? Just, again, I'm not going to get into this a lot tonight, but this rubbish was all the walls, the previous walls that had been knocked down and burnt up by fire, and all that had to be moved before the walls could be built on that. I preach a message, have preached it years ago. You can't build walls on rubbish. And that is so true. But in my mind, I'm thinking our attitudes, there's a lot of rubbish in there. A lot of stuff that is going to be an obstacle to us serving God. If God says build, you can build. If God says serve, you can serve. And there's this rubbish, as Judas said here, it is real hard to get it all cleared out. That's why I preach do right, because when you do right, you don't add rubbish. That's why I preach, parents, train up your children the way they should go, because then you don't have to clean out the rubbish. You know, I've got all kinds of rubbish from my childhood that sometimes pulls me away from doing what I'm supposed to do. I've got rubbish from the past and rubbish from past teaching that messes with me all the time. I don't want that rubbish. And so these are attitudes that we have. We stop us. Okay, our adversaries stop us. I understand that. They're out there. They're out to get us. Our acquaintances don't totally understand why they would do that and not want me to succeed for God. I'm amazed at acquaintances that want us to succeed in the world, but they don't really care if we succeed for God. Chew on that a little while. It's amazing. It really is. It just came to me, too. And but the thing that is so hard to grasp is me stopping me. My attitude. We produce this obstacle right here. And maybe it's our biggest obstacle, this rubbish in my life that burdens me, that discourages me, that stops me. That's the things Satan brings up that I've allowed in my life, or that my parents maybe allowed in my life, or that just came in my life. Not your fault, you didn't ask for it, but it's rubbish. It's rubbish. And the rubbish that we're going to talk about in the next few days, and the reason, again, that we're going to go over into August, is here's some of the things, all right? Number one, I'm too sinful. Number two, I'm too simple. Number three, I'm too slothful. Number four, I'm too scarred. Number five, I'm sidetracked. Number six, I'm selfish. Number seven, I'm scared. Number eight, it's too soon. This is rubbish attitudes we have that keep us from serving God. Good example. It's too soon. I'll do it someday. I still can see the man. I counseled with him over and over, and he said, I should have. And I said, okay, if you didn't, now do. Well, I will. And next time, I should have. I said, well, brother, if you didn't, then do. And he said, you know what? I will. Next time I counsel with him, and that went on and on and on. And just a few years ago, that same man died of cancer. As far as I know, he never did. Never did. Never did. What happened? There was one obstacle. Just one. And it was, it's too soon. I'll do it later. There's folks in this room, I guarantee you have put off and put off and put. I'm going to get in that tent one of these days. I'm going to work nursery one of these days. Well, one of these days I'm going to teach Sunday school. One of these days I'm going to get my CDL. And you know what? You're going to one of these days yourself into the grave and never do. Never doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean you're away. In fact, you're probably one of the best people here. It just means you never did. Don't you want to hear him say, well done?
Amen. That's
right. Don't you just want to hear him say, well done? You know, it's like I said, the walls, there's nothing glamorous about that. There's nothing glamorous about cleaning toilets and the nursery and helping a shepherd in the restroom. And there is nothing glamorous about that. But I got news for you. Oh, the line of people that's going to hear well done. We're going to say, who's that? Oh, that lady served, she worked in the nursery for 50 years. Really? Jesus just told her, well done. Wow, she's not a pastor, not an evangelist, not a missionary. Yeah. Who's that? That old guy right there, who is that guy? Oh, that guy was in the bus ministry for 40 years. Really? Wow. Well, who's that person there? Oh, that person? Yeah, I never saw their picture in the Sword of the Lord. I never saw their picture in Revival Fires. Who are they? Oh, that person? Yeah, that person, they cleaned the restrooms at their church faithfully for years. Really, Jesus just said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Nothing makes a pastor more happy than to think you're going to hear, well done. Well done. Let's bow our heads.